You know, if you have listened at all to some of the musician conversations that we've had from our performance studio, you know what a special place the home is. Stefan Harris talked about it the other day. Christian Sands talked about it. It's a sense memory that informs damn near everything that every musician does on any given day or night. For this lady, Seattle was the place, the home base, a mother and a father, both having a life in music as educators. There were no walls. There was any kind of music on any given day, from Brahms to bebop to hip-hop and beyond. And when you grow up in that kind of environment, your sense memory is in the moment, and it's always a party. What kind of party? We'll let Aubrey Logan tell us this morning at WBGO Live.
All right. I just can't stop crying. This melodrama in my head, it's got me all inspired to set some common sense on fire. Too late to quit while I'm ahead. One, two. Well, my pity party's over, and I'm sorry it went so long. Too bad you couldn't make it, but it really wasn't all that fun. Oh, misery sucks to be me, waiting for the sun. Oh, my pity party's over, ain't you glad that that's all done? Boo-hoo, uh-huh. I wanted to tell you not to leave me in my puddle of tears, but my ego said get out and go home. I should put on my pants, get over it, but I just want to eat a pint of ice cream in the dark all alone. Oh, when I'm sick of getting nowhere, I'll call you on the phone so you can tell me what I want to hear. Would I be bitching, moaning, whining, groaning, watching all my friends disappear? Well, my pity party's over, and I'm sorry it went so long. Too bad you couldn't make it, but it really wasn't all that fun. Oh, misery sucks to be me, waiting for the sun. Well, my pity party's over, ain't you glad that that's all done? Somebody feed that girl. Well, I remember when my mommy sat me down and she said, baby, when you're dumb, you've got to be tough. But mommy, other people do it wrong and other people take too long, so give me it, I'll do it myself. Oh, when I'm sick of getting nowhere, hungry as hell, and there ain't no more midnight oil to burn, get her a burger, taco, see you tomorrow. When's that little girl gonna learn? Oh, my pity party's over, and I'm sorry it went so long. Too bad you couldn't make it, but it really wasn't all that fun. Oh, misery sucks to be me, waiting for the sun. Well, my pity party's over, ain't you glad that that's all done? You're not invited. It doesn't matter because you're not invited. That's fine. You're not invited. I don't care because you weren't invited. Boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. Well, my pity party's over, and maybe it went too long. Well, I know you had to go. That's okay because I had no fun. I love my misery. Sucks to be me. Look at that. Here comes the sun. Well, my party's over. Well, my pity party's over. Ain't you glad? So, so glad. Woo! I'm done.
You have to know about a half an hour ago, She hit that note, and she said, "My God, it's 20 minutes before 9 o'clock in the morning. How am I going to find this?"
And I'm on the East Coast, and yesterday I was in L.A.
"How am I going to find this? This is impossible." "Why, no, it's not impossible, but yet it is impossible."
Hey, look at that.
The upcoming recording, where you will find...
That actually is the debut album that came out last year. That's Impossible.
Oh, okay.
And the upcoming recording is already available for pre-order on my website. And that is to yet be titled, but we've got a lot of good stuff coming down the tracks for that one.
Welcome to WBGO. Aubrey Logan going to be part of a big celebration going on this Sunday and Monday nights at Birdland in New York City, the 10th anniversary of the Resonance record label. Now, growing up for you on the West Coast, Seattle, I was right, wasn't I? I mean, all kinds of music in the house.
There was. Well, my parents are music teachers. They met at school and high school. Well, they were high school teachers, and they were the band director and the choir director, and yes, they got married and lived happily ever after. That's actually what happened.
Which came first, the voice or the trombone?
For me, the voice. So as a young kid, under the age of 12, I was doing musical theater as a hobby and a career. I mean, I was doing some professional shows. And by the time I was 12 years old, I just wanted to go back to school with my friends. I just wanted to be back in school. And all my friends were in the band. So I had no choice but to pick up an instrument. And I was such a big fan of Chicago and James Brown and Michael Jackson, and I was seeing trombones in those bands.
Plus, the band guys who were your friends.
Right.
They all had a different lunch hour. So to sync up, you went and said,
I had to join the band by default.
Give
it was
me
the
an
only
instrument.
Way. My mother, who was the choir director at my school, so there was, of course, no way I was going to be in choir, convinced the band director to let me join a year later than the rest of the kids. So I was behind. And I tried to learn a year's worth of trombone in a year because part of me just wanted to beat everyone. But
but see, now that trombone, that would take you to the Berklee School of Music on a full scholarship, studying with people like Phil Wilson,
yeah.
Terry Lynn Carrington, and others.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had a great time at Berklee. It was one of the best times in my life. And that was just a microcosm of the music industry for 4 straight years in a row. So while I was a student at Berklee, there were so many different pockets of students doing different kinds of music. So you had your gospel cats, and you had your songwriters, and you had your jazzers, and you had the pop stars, and they were all together in one place. And so for me, that's like heaven, because I don't like to segregate those types of things. And that's kind of where I got just a big implosion of inspiration, and out came a lot of these songs that you're
hearing. And it's just like home for you, because you
absolutely
grew up around all those types of musics too, right?
Absolutely did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Berklee College of Music, and then on touring around the world with people like Dave Koz and others.
Yes, Dave Koz is wonderful. He had me on his Summer Horns 2 album, From A to Z. That's what it's called. And it came out in June, and then we toured it together. And he put together 5 different artists, so it was a collaboration project. And so we had 5 horn players, and we're all soloists. None of us really play together much. So it was myself and Dave. Rick Braun was playing trumpet. Richard Elliott was playing tenor. And Gerald Albright was playing alto. And the 5 of us got together and were playing these arrangements by Tom Scott and Gordon Goodwin, and going, "Oh my gosh, we have not played in an ensemble in years. None of us have." So that was a real big challenge for us, but it ended up being great. I mean, I got to do a song. I got to sing on the album as well, and I sang Conga by the Miami, Gloria Estefan's Conga. And then Dave sent the track to Gloria and said, "Gloria, would you like to sing like a verse on this?" And her response was, "No, I think I'll just sing a backup line on it." And she's singing on it with me.
Wow.
On that album. So that was a real bucket list thing for me that I didn't even know was a bucket list item for me. Because I've always been a big fan of hers.
So when was the pity party?
Okay, so the pity party, it's an ongoing party.
Because it sounds like a pretty whirlwind kind of life so far.
Yeah, so I wrote Pity Party, probably a couple of years ago. So the album you're holding in your hand, Impossible, came out in September 2017. And Pity Party was on it. And I entered it into the USA Songwriting Competition. And I guess I'm so good at pity parties that I won the jazz division of the songwriting competition. No, I wrote Pity Party because you know, so many artists, so many people, not just artists, can just get all up in their head and get in a bad mood. And everybody has an ego. And, you know, I have one. We all have one. If you don't say you have one, you have the biggest one. And so if we can just make light of it a little, if we could just not take ourselves too seriously, that's kind of where pity party came from in my mind.
Well, it works.
Thanks.
It works. It's a Logan's Run this morning. We're talking with Aubrey Logan, and at the piano, Logan Thomas. Will you do something else for us?
Yeah, let's do something else.
Apprivoiser. Et c'est bien avant qu'on l'appelle et c'est lui qu'on vient de refuser. Rien n'est fait, mais ne sous prière, ne parle bien, l'autre se tait. Et c'est l'autre que je préfère, il n'a rien dit, mais il me plaît.
Know
yeah,
that.
Logan.
From Carmen, right?
From yeah. Carmen.
Excellent. Habanera.
Yeah.
No problem at all.
No problem. Well, you know, I always liked listening to classical music. I just, and I studied it a little bit growing up, especially vocally. I didn't really study a lot of classical trombone. And but when I was a teenager, I took classical voice lessons and I really, really loved it. And I was telling George this before, I almost wanted to be an opera singer. And I looked into it. I looked into colleges to study opera. And then I was told that opera singers have to sing the same show every night. So I changed my mind and became a jazz pop artist instead. So, yeah, but I still, you know, that song is supposed to be sung by a mezzo-soprano, which I'm not. It's supposed to be sung, you know, in a certain key, which we did not do. And it's supposed to be, you know, my French was all wrong, was all sorts of wrong. But no, I think it was right. But you're supposed to sing it with more Italian vowels in the traditional opera sense. And so we broke that rule as well. But Bizet, I hope if you're hearing this, you don't hate me, because that was fun for me to do.
But you know, you never know. Bizet might be but like Thelonious Monk. You know, there's
exactly.
A lot of people that say, you should play Monk exactly the way he wrote it.
Well.
But you know, his own son said, you know, my daddy wrote those tunes with the attitude of get on my horse and ride.
Exactly.
You know, and make it your own and take it for your own ride.
Well, and that song, I mean, that bass line is so infectious and everybody recognizes it. I mean, I know Bobby McFerrin has done Habanera before. And I'm definitely not the first to do that. And there's something about that doom, boo, 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 ba. And it just goes in and out of major and minor. It's very fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can tell you're having fun with it, and you obviously know your way around.
Thanks.
Ba, ding, ba, doom. And Sunday and Monday nights,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be around at Birdland
yep.
in New York City.
Monday nights.
An all-star celebration of the Resonance record label.
Yes.
You have probably come now that you're a Resonance artist.
Exactly. I will be there with bells on.
You have come to understand what they represent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm super excited to be part of Resonance Records because George Klabin, the head of Resonance, and Resonance believes in the artist. And that's what makes me so excited. So I feel like I can be at that label and be myself and do what I feel like I can do best.
You know, they represent, they're probably as close to BGO as any other music entity in that.
Oh, cool.
It's a double-edged kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's showcasing what's today.
Yep.
Be it Eddie Daniels, be it Polly Gibbons,
mm-hmm.
be it Claudio Roditi or Donald Vega or Christian Howes or Aubrey Logan.
And you're naming all people who will be at Birdland with us
yes.
on Sunday and Monday.
Or The Rich History.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
The First Date.
Yep.
Of Thad Jones, Mel Lewis. I played some of it this morning from February of 66. George Klabin was a kid. He was there.
Did you know him when he was a kid?
He recorded it.
Goodness, that's great.
I felt like I should have. You know, we're kindred spirits.
That's so great.
And I think we may have known each other in a previous life.
Oh, that's fabulous. Man. Well, I'm excited because I get to record an album with Resonance in January that will be a in-studio live album with a studio audience in the room with us. Because the music I do, I love the control of a recording studio. I love that type of art. But it's also, I love the stage and I love communicating with human beings. And so I'm trying to incorporate the best of both worlds in this record, and people can pre-order it now, even like on aubreylogan.com, they can go pre-order it. But if they want to actually be a part of the studio audience in LA in January, they can get a ticket to be in there and they can pre-order that now.
How cool is
that? Yeah. So if they want to go do that, it's just aubreylogan.com. And if you can't be in LA in January, that's okay. You can just pre-order the album. CD, remember those? Remember CDs?
Or
signed CDs or vinyl. We're even going to have some vinyl opportunities or just a digital download that's available for pre-order too.
But that live scenario of
yeah.
the studio, you know, good enough for Sinatra, good enough for Logan.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, and a lot of my peers are doing that lately. I mean, some of my favorite artists right now, PJ Morton did an album that way, and Snarky Puppy does their albums that way. And I've been a part of this fabulous collective called Postmodern Jukebox for several years now, which is where I met Logan. And they record videos all in one take and put them on a record after that. And so we're going to be mixing a lot of things together. It's going to be a lot more than just a live studio album because post-production will have that modern, fresh pop sound. And really, we're combining the best of both worlds. It's what I'm excited about most.
And
that's
what
I'm get to do with Resonance.
And you can see documentation of this attitude and the spirit and the modernistic approach if you go to YouTube.
Absolutely.
You have a number of videos that are up.
They're floating around. They sure are. They're
yeah.
up there.
Yeah. Aubrey Logan with us this morning on WBGO, and along with Polly Gibbons, you represent the Voice Choice coming on at Birdland on Sunday and Monday nights. But an all-star celebration. We're going to talk to George a little bit later in the hour about this program. But it's got to be, for you, pretty special thing to be part of this kind of entity.
Absolutely. It's really exciting because I get to be in a room with, like, gosh, not just one hero or two heroes, but like five or six or seven, all in one room. So it's going to be exciting for me. I can't wait. Yeah. So we start early. My set starts at 6 o'clock sharp.
Who are your heroes of the trombone?
Oh, gosh. Well, to be honest, Fred Wesley's a big hero of mine.
Uh-huh.
And I've gotten the chance to hang out with him a little bit. There's just something about that funk that gets me. I mean, that if it weren't for funky music, I wouldn't be a musician.
Once again, it might be that bass line.
You know, it might be that bass line. Exactly. And that inspires him. I just like how he responded to James Brown. I like how he treated the horn. And then, you know, in stark contrast, I like people like Conrad Herwig, and I like Bill Watrous, rest his soul. We lost him just recently. And then I'm happy to say some of my favorite trombone players in the world are my peers. Christopher Bill, who is another fabulous YouTube star. These are people my age and younger and who are just slaying the game. I love Trombone Shorty. I love what he does. And yeah, there's a lot of good trombone players in the world.
Yeah.
And they all sound a little different.
They do indeed. I've been listening lately to a new recording from Marshall Jilks.
Ooh.
And his inspiration comes from voices, mm-hmm. from instruments other than the trombone.
Right.
That informs what he does when he plays. And you can hear it.
I would agree with him. I don't know that I've gotten the most of my inspiration from trombone players, although I do love the instrument. Most of my inspiration comes from just really any arrangement that even a big band and the way they treat a song as a collective. I try to, like, okay, how can I take those 19 people playing this line and put it into this one horn? I don't know, but sometimes my brain is doing that, and that's fun for me.
Well, one of your mentors, Phil Wilson, and some of the arranging that he used to do for Buddy Rich,
mm-hmm.
Is a prime example of what you can do when you take any kind of tune.
Yeah.
And you don't have the barriers or the walls around the attitude,
yeah.
in order to free you up to pick anything.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, he thought like an arranger and treated his approach to teaching like an arranger. He was always thinking big picture. And I'm really blessed to have been able to spend, you know, 4 solid years in close quarters with Phil. And then even now, you know, we're very much in touch still. And actually, he came to one of my recent shows in Boston. He's retired from Berkeley at this point, and he sat in the, we used to be together in the room, and when we would have one-on-one lessons, he would sit across from me and stare at me and say, "Play, babe." And I'd play over some changes. He'd turn on an Abersalds, and I'd be playing over like Billy Strayhorn something, and I'd be struggling through the changes. And then I'd put my horn down, you know, wipe the sweat off my brow, and he'd go, "Ha, ha, 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 ha. Here's what you meant to play." And he'd bring his trombone up and play it. So I have these vivid memories of him just kind of staring at me all the time while I'm playing the trombone. And it was quite nerve-wracking and inspiring, but quite nerve-wracking. And so recently, years later, I'm doing a show in Boston. And who shows up but Phil Wilson? He parks himself in the front row right in front of me and stares at me my whole entire show the same way he would do during our lessons, except he had a big grin on his face and was super enjoying himself. But that was a special moment. Logan was there for that. That was fun.
Well, and when you consider, here you are on an October morning in 2018,
yeah.
with your voice and your trombone.
Right.
I think Mr. Wilson's intent was always encouragement.
It always was.
Yeah.
It always was.
Mm-hmm. Aubrey Logan, Sunday and Monday night, part of the big celebration at Birdland. What are we going to hear next?
Oh, we're going to do my favorite jazz ballad. That Frank Sinatra probably does my favorite rendition of it. This is in the wee small hours of the morning.
Aubrey Logan.
In the wee of the morning, while the whole wide world is fast asleep, you about the boy, and never ever think of counting sheep. And when your lonely heart has learned its lesson, you would be his if only he would call. But in the wee small hours of the morning, that's the time you miss him most of all. Lesson, you would be his if only he would call. But in the wee small hours of the morning, that's the time you him most.
Yeah. Stefan Harris was here the other day, the masterful vibraphonist and educator, and he said, you know, Gary, there are no mistakes. There are only opportunities. And when you approach life that way, let alone music, the opportunities are endless. Whether it be in the morning for the first coffee break, lunchtime, or in the wee small hours of the morning. That was just beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Gary.
Do you remember the first time you heard that?
Yeah, I do. It was Frank Sinatra's recording, and then I heard Kurt Elling do it.
Yeah.
And that one made me fall in love with it. He does it as a medley with, I don't know if it's an original song. I can't remember at the moment. But, yeah, I love the way he treated that.
I'm looking at a photograph
mm-hmm. That
comes with your last record.
Yeah.
And it's this little girl dressed up. Like she's ready.
Tap dance class.
For like the
age
first
three.
Show. Is that what it was?
Absolutely. Yes, it was. My mother put me in class with the five-year-olds when I was three because she wanted me to, I think I was just being a little, she thought I was being a little lazy or something. And she wanted me to learn how to get back up if I fell down. So she put me in a five-year-old's tap dance class when I was 3 years old.
But there's a sense of rhythm that comes with that, obviously.
Oh, yes.
A sense of tempo and things. You know,
yes.
Regina Carter and Carla Cook are very dear friends. They grew up together in Detroit.
Yeah.
And they first came together, like in the second grade.
Right.
With tap dance classes.
Well, funny enough, I'm no tap dancer, you know, anymore. But I'm friends, because of Postmodern Jukebox, in fact, I'm friends with some of the best tap dancers in the world. And Resonance put out, I'm releasing a song on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, all digital platforms every 2 weeks at the moment, every other Friday. And the first one we released was featuring Sarah Reich, the tap dancer, and we did a rendition of Jimi Hendrix's Fire. And she said, I said, Sarah, I'm doing five songs from the 1970s, and I want you to be on it. What song from the 1970s do you want to do? And I'm calling it your mom's favorite songs, because in my world, that's my mom's favorite song. And she said, well, you know all those, you know that Jimi Hendrix on Fire? And I said, yeah. She says, you know all the drum fills? I said, yeah. She goes, I'm going to tap dance all those drum fills. So sure enough, she did. It's up on YouTube. They can find it on my website. It's up on YouTube. Just look up Aubrey Logan Fire with Sarah Reich, the tap dancer. So tap is important to me, even though I won't claim I can do it.
But it works.
It works. And it's very musical.
And it's the attitudinal thing that mm-hmm. that brings you to, you know, any kind of musical environment.
Right.
Do you know how freeing that is? Do you appreciate that? Because not mm-hmm. everybody can do that. Some people are, you know, they have the silo approach to their art form. And it's very restrictive that way.
Boring.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, you might call it boring or limiting at any event, right? We're chatting with Aubrey Logan and along with Logan Thomas this morning. We're checking out some music and part of Sunday and Monday night, a lot of music to check out.
A lot of music. All night.
At Birdland in New York City, and Aubrey, along with vocalist Polly Gibbons, mm-hmm. will recognize and share the vocal part of the program.
Which is the first part of the night, 6 p.m.
But also the closer.
Also the closer.
I mean, I don't want to give any information out, but why the hell not, Gary? Tell them. Tell them what they're in for.
Eddie Daniels is going to be there, you guys. You better get your...
That's reason enough.
Just get yourself over there. Get yourself over to Birdland on Sunday night and Monday night. Come both nights, for crying out loud. Hang out with us.
They're not going to do Jimi Hendrix's Fire.
Well, we won't have our tap dancer, and so you know, it'll feel like a big gaping hole if we were to do that. But we're going to do really, really fun repertoire on Sunday and Monday night.
But how about, you know, you Lou Rawls fans? I'd rather drink muddy water. How about that?
Camp out in a hollow log.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Polly Gibbons and Logan Aubrey Logan going to do this together as a closer? Look out.
Yep.
They're not going to be able to clear the room.
I hope not.
People are just going to stay.
Exactly.
Where's home base for you now?
Home base is Los Angeles for me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just flew in last night. And I start my tour. My tour kicks off at Birdland. This Sunday and Monday, and then we're down to North Carolina. We're going to buzz around Missouri, Ohio, Frederick, Maryland.
Nighttown in Ohio, right? In Cleveland?
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. That's my old home base.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll say hello for you.
Please do.
You bet.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah.
And so, and we have listeners, you know, all around the country and all
Fabulous.
Around the world. So.
Pittsburgh, we'll be in Pittsburgh. We'll be in, three different Ohio cities, three different North Carolina cities. And then Missouri, three different Missouri cities, actually.
And you can find out all of this information mm-hmm. by going to AubreyLogan.com.
That's right.
Right?
Absolutely.
I love it that you guys have gotten up and come down here in the morning.
Me too. There's nothing like getting yourself on East Coast time, like an 8:30 in the morning radio show.
That'll do it, won't it?
I welcome it anytime.
What are we going to hear next?
We're going to do a rendition of everyone's favorite, Route 66, but I just want to preface this by saying this was actually recorded on Dave Koz's Summer Horns 2 album, and I got the opportunity to sing on it, and Gordon Goodwin arranged it for the horn players and for all of us, and we did the thing, and Dave Koz had been to one of my shows before and seen me do my rendition of Route 66, which involves a little bit of a story in the middle, and just imagine you're in a car with two different people. There's two different people in the car. There's a woman in the passenger seat, and the man's driving, and we're going to take you on a little road trip. And so Dave was kind enough to let me do these antics on his album for me, but we're going to do a little bit of that right now.
Take us on All a right. road trip, Aubrey Logan.
Have you ever planned to motor west? Travel
the highway that's the best. So won't you get your kicks on Route 66, where he winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles all the way. So baby, get your kicks on Route 66. So you go through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, Oklahoma City is mighty pretty. You see every day, and Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona. No, don't forget Winona, Kingman, Barstow, San Bernardino. When you get hip to this timely tip, you made that California trip. So baby, get your kicks on Route 66. Okay, so I'm sitting in the passenger seat and we're just having a chat somewhere in the middle of Nebraska. I'm just kind of like blah blah blah. What are you thinking? And he's like,
huh? Oh, yeah.
Anyway, and she was like, are you listening to me?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stop the car! Beep, beep.
Now he's talking.
Are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
So that was somewhere in Nebraska. So you go through St. Louis. Chaplin is a real Oklahoma City is mighty pretty. You see El Dorado and Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona. No, no, don't forget Winona, Kingman, Barstow, San Bernardino. Won't you get hip to this timely tip when you make that California trip? So baby, get your kicks on Route 66. What are we gonna do? We're gonna get our kicks on Route 66. One more time before we're done, baby, get your kicks on Route 66. Are we there yet?
Aubrey Logan this morning at WBGO, Logan Thomas at the piano. I guarantee you, with that version, you made a few people miss their exit. You just did.
That wow. Was,
they just said, whoosh, they just kept going.
Are we there yet?
Are we there yet? That's right. Don't make me get in that back seat.
Thank you.
I can remember that from my father going on trips and stuff. Aubrey Logan taking a trip to Birdland on Sunday and Monday night. And she is part of an all-star celebration of a very special arts entity, the Resonance Record Label, because they are not only devoted to what's happening today and the current artistry that is out there right now, but also some of the real gems.
The legacies.
You bet.
Yep.
I mean, the West Montgomery, the Grant Green.
The places from whence we came.
Whew. Upcoming an Eric Dolphy set that's going to blow your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bill Evans.
Yeah.
West Montgomery more than once. Jaco Pastorius, all but forgotten this very special evening that took place at Lincoln Center. And it's all due to the vision and the naivete. Because you don't get in the jazz business to make a whole lot of money. George Clavin has been around the New York scene. When he was a kid, he was the program director of WKCR at Columbia University.
That's right.
And that really got the bug going. And he had a recording studio in New York, and there are stories to tell. Thank you, Flora Purim. There are stories to tell from that studio alone that we could spend, you know, a couple of months talking about. But I want to talk about this record label. Is this what you envisioned?
Well, not really. I mean, it started out, I wanted to have a little performance center in Beverly Hills, and I was trying to record promising artists and then give it to record labels and say, here, would you like to put this out? These are exceptional. I was really working with virtuosos like the lady here and the gentleman with her. These are among the top. And so the record labels just, no, we can't, you know, they're new, they don't sell, da-da-da-da. So I said, I'll put it out myself. And that's how it started 10 years ago. And then I brought Zev Feldman on, who's very important, because Zev is the jazz detective. And he found some wonderful recordings. I had a few of them. I had the Bill Evans, the first Bill Evans, Top of the Gate, and I had one that I did when I was 19, which you mentioned, Thad Jones, Mel Lewis. But he was finding stuff, and I said, you know, they're going to come out of the woodwork as soon as we put some of this out. And sure enough, that's what's happening. And we're getting a lot of these recordings are just surfacing. So there's some really, we choose the best, really important ones, like the Eric Dolphy, which will be coming out soon, which is, there hasn't been a Dolphy recording in decades, a new one. And this is unreleased material, as well as redoing two of his famous recordings on the Alan Douglas label.
Oh, that's marvelous, yes. Man. That's marvelous.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you the obvious question. What was it that you heard or saw in Aubrey Logan where you said, that lady needs to be part of what the vision of Resonance is?
Well, what I saw was a lot of things, but I will go right to the most important one for me, which is that she's the bridge. I've been looking for a bridge between pop and jazz, because young people are not exposed to jazz. They don't even know what it is. They might have heard the word, but that's it. And so she is bringing young people in. I went to her concert, and there were so many young people there, and they were just, she was mesmerizing them. She and in front of an audience is remarkable.
It's got to be something more than just someone's age, isn't it?
No, but I'm just trying to get young people in, because we need to get them in. And she is a young person herself, and she's not just singing jazz, she's singing pop and writing magnificent combinations of music, some of which are like Pity Party, which aren't pure jazz, and so on. So then what people, young people who've never heard jazz, will ask her or will like what she's doing and say, what is that? And, well, that's jazz, like the trombone solo, some of the improvisation. And then they'll have a curiosity and go further. And that's one very important reason. Not to mention she's a genius and a virtuoso and really has it all. So
I love talking to this guy, because you know why? Because he's so excited about this art form.
I've always been
around that.
I have been. So are you. Look at you. You're the same.
I get up in the middle of the night to come do this.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to, if I may, since we don't have a lot of time, just mention to the audience about what's going on. The importance of this is that we put together this like a festival at Birdland on Sunday and Monday. So there's three sets of music, 6, 8:30, and 11. However, no music will be repeated. It's not like, and it's not exactly the same musicians getting up and doing the same style or same music, shall we say. It's a program of as many of our recordings,
well, let's
music
talk
from
it.
Them.
You
yes.
got Polly Gibbons and Aubrey Logan.
Yes, we start with them.
You got Eddie Daniels and Claudia Roditi and Christian Howes. Huh. The
and
fine
they will
violinists.
Be playing,
you got two different piano players
right,
that
and,
are wonderful.
And two rhythm sections.
Josh Nelson
and
Donald Vega.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Bolenbach,
yes.
One of the most underrated guitar players on the planet Earth today.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. Richie Goods always brings the goods with his bass. Always. Right?
Yeah.
Kevin Axe, you got Mark McLean and Mauricio Zottarelli on drums.
Yeah.
How can you miss?
But I don't think we will, but I want people to know that they should look at this like, don't just come for one set. You want to hear great music, stay. Come and hear these singers and stay and hear the instrumentalists and the other musicians that we mentioned, because this is not like going to hear one group and then, oh, they're going to do another set. It's not like that at all.
I'll tell you, what you've just told me, it's a party, and it'd be a pity if you don't show up.
That's true.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sure. George Clavin. Special moments, special radio moments like this and like others that you enjoy on a regular basis from 88.3 FM would not happen if it weren't for listeners that, you know, Matt Wilson calls it the moat. You know, it's that distance between performer and audience. And what we try to do in public radio is make you right here with us. You're part of us. And because of you, this is how we get to do what we get to do. And we've had a wonderful time this morning with Logan Thomas on piano. Thank you,
yes,
sir, very much for getting up and coming down here. And Aubrey Logan, what a spirit. It's just
Thank
a
you.
Pleasure to be around you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes. And the trombone and the voice, the choice that takes her around the corner and takes her around the world to audiences. I invite you to visit YouTube for the videos, right?
They can find it there, or their aubreylogan.com can send them to all of the different places they can be, including those YouTube videos.
And no walls, you know, and that's what frees you up, right?
Absolutely.
That's what frees you up. You know, I'm looking at your last record.
Yeah.
And it says impossible.
It says impossible, but there's a line through it.
But there's a line through it.
Exactly.
And I think I'm starting to understand.
Thank you.
Why you drew the line through it, right?
Yeah, I got to sing that song, Impossible, which is the title track of the album, with the Boston Pops in August recently. And hearing them play my original music and bring it up to... You ever feel like you're flying when you hear an orchestra?
Yes.
That's how I felt. And having them play that song after all the struggle that I went through to even get that album out, which if you guys helped support that, thank you. But yeah, Impossible with a line through it, because it's not impossible.
Classical music from Haydn to Hammer.
Right.
Right? Listen to what this lady does. It's going to take us out into midday jazz this morning. Don't forget, Sunday night, Monday night, part of the big celebration at Birdland in New York City. Aubrey Logan, thank you.
Thank you.
For coming by here this morning.
Thanks for having me, and see you at Birdland, everybody.
Can't touch this.
One, two, one, two. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. My music hits me so hard it makes me say, oh my lord, thank you for blessing me with a mind to rhyme and to hype. It feels good when you know you're down, a super dope homeboy from the Oak Town, and I'm known as such, and this is the beat, you can't touch.